Welcome to All Sides with Amy Jurevich. Odds are that if you live in Ohio, you've heard of Cedar Point. The Sandusky-based amusement park has always been a popular tourist destination. A year ago, the park's owner, Cedar Fair, was purchased and merged with Six Flags. Kings Island in Mason, Ohio, was a part of the merger, too, and is now a part of Six Flags. Recently, Six Flags announced that it's going to be laying off 10% of their full-time employees nationwide. Cedar Point employees are among those losing jobs, and it's raising questions about how this might impact the park's quality. Susan Glasser is a travel editor and reporter for Cleveland.com and recently wrote about the potential changes at Cedar Point, and she joins us now. Welcome to All Sides, Susan.
Hey, good morning. Nice to be with you.
So can you talk to me, it's been about a year since Six Flags merged with Cedar Fair. Can you give me a little bit about the logistics of the merger? Because my understanding is Cedar Fair, the company that ran Kings Island and Cedar Point, still exists, but Six Flags is now the parent company. Is that correct?
I don't think Cedar Fair exists. No, they merged. There's one company now.
Okay.
And I believe there are 27 parks in the company. Let me back up. There was a large number of Cedar Fair shareholders who were opposed to this. I can't say it was a majority. They were not allowed to vote on the merger, but there was definitely a vocal minority who did not want this to happen. Six Flags had a far worse reputation at the time, and the sort of the belief was that, you know, Cedar Fair was going to, you know, save Six Flags or bring the Six Flags parks up to the Cedar Fair standards. So there's been a fear that, you know, that Cedar Fair parks, which generally are perceived to be pretty well run, might suffer as the new company focuses on the legacy Six Flags parks. I will say also that the Cedar Fair executives are in charge of the new Six Flags company. The CEO of Cedar Fair a year ago is the CEO of Six Flags right now, and the CFO and the COO. So Cedar Fair executives are running Six Flags currently. I don't know if that answers the question, but...
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So this was about a year ago. So Six Flags and Cedar Fair have merged, and it's now all Six Flags for about a year. Have we seen any impacts, specifically since you're in Cleveland, any impacts on Cedar Point itself?
Well, as you mentioned, at the first quarter earnings call a month ago, Richard Zimmerman, who's the CEO of Six Flags, confirmed that they were in the process of laying off 10% of their full-time staff. And I think company-wide, that's about 5,000 people, so about 500 layoffs. I recently asked the manager at Cedar Point how many folks at Cedar Point were laid off, and she told me about 40 out of 400 full-time staff. And, I haven't spent a lot of time in the park yet this year. I've been there once, anecdotally, on social media, people like to complain about, the ride lines are long and the operations are slow. I don't know that anybody can attribute anything to the layoffs yet. But I did write a story a few weeks ago, and a couple of former Cedar Fair executives, including the former CEO, Matt Wiemet, mentioned some concern about these layoffs, as did the former general manager of Kings Island. So I think, there's definitely concern. Absolutely.
Did Cedar Point give you an indication these 40 layoffs, were they full-time staff members who worked kind of like back office, or do you know what they did?
She said across all areas. So I assume operations, hospitality, accounting, everything. She also said, that it wouldn't affect operations. It wouldn't affect the guest experience, but how could it not, right? You lose 40 people. It's going to make a difference.
Do you have any idea of public opinion of the merger? You mentioned earlier Six Flags doesn't have as good of a reputation as Cedar Fair. So overall, would a Cedar Fair lover, someone who loves and really cares about Cedar Point and Kings Island, would they maybe be upset about the merger?
I think, I mean, you know, most people who go to Cedar Point for a day probably don't pay attention to this stuff. But like I mentioned, the shareholders of Cedar Fair, there was definitely a movement more than a year ago to try to stop this thing or derail it. There was concern for sure. And most of the, or many of the shareholders, I mean, certainly not all of them, are small, you know, local people who have been unit holders or had been, you know, for a long time, and many of them in Ohio, right? So yeah, there's been concern, absolutely. And but you know, I will say too that even before the merger, there's been a general feeling that Cedar Point and probably Kings Island too have sort of been the victim of the corporatization of Cedar Fair even before it became Six Flags. You know, the company has gotten bigger over the past 2 decades, and as you add more parks, things become a little more streamlined, and maybe the local flavor of the park isn't what it used to be. You know, the signs kind of look all the same, and the marketing and stuff like that.
That's what I was wondering about the marketing. Is it called now Six Flags Dash Cedar Point, or like is the Six Flags branding in Cedar Point?
Not really. No. It's Cedar Point. I mean, Cedar Point is and presumably will always be the flagship park of that company. And I think they know better than to call it Six Flags Cedar Point. Nobody's calling it that.
Yeah. And I do know that Six Flags decided to consolidate leadership. So Cedar Point and Kings Island no longer have general manager positions, but they still do have park managers. So it's kind of just a different title. Would you think that this was probably a money-saving idea, but also a shifting of duties?
Yeah, I mean, I think I was told, right, that it was maybe the new position of manager has you know, maybe a little less policy influence and is a little bit more of a, you know, nuts and bolts, you know, make sure the park is operating well day to day. But you're right. I mean, they still have leadership at the park. Absolutely. There's still somebody in charge of Cedar Point.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about layoffs and the merger between Cedar Fair and Six Flags, and we're talking about Cedar Point and Kings Island with Cleveland.com reporter Susan Glasser. So I wanted to move on to just some more recent news. Cedar Point's latest attraction, the Siren's Curse, the longest, highest, fastest tilt roller coaster in North America. It's expected to be a big draw for Cedar Point this summer. It opened recently, and even on its first day of operation, and then within its first week, it's gotten stuck a few times. What are the thoughts up there in Cleveland about this, about Siren's Curse getting stuck?
Oh, well, I just finished a story about that. I will say that I talked to industry experts about this, and no one is surprised that this ride has had a few little glitches. Nobody's been hurt. You know, I would say, you know, it makes for really dramatic photos and video, but this is completely expected. Any brand new coaster is going to have little glitches, and you know, I rode it 3 times at the media preview. It felt very safe. There's a very similar, almost identical ride that's been operating in Taiwan for more than 20 years with, as far as I know, no serious incidents. So, you know, you know, and my guess is Cedar Point loves the publicity too, because, you know, it makes people want to ride the thing. I mean, the coaster has had 2 hour lines most days since it's been open. So,
So even
people
if
are not afraid to ride it, apparently.
apparently, so I know that one of the times it got stuck, they got it going again. But another time when it got stuck, people had to actually get out of the car and walk down. That didn't have people not want to ride it.
Well, I don't think so. I mean, I wasn't at the park on that day, but the very next day when it reopened, you know, people queued up to ride it. And I mentioned this to my boss too. This past week, the Gemini coaster, which has been there for since 1978, had to be evacuated. I mean, there are little computer glitches that happen. And Raptor, which has also been there for several decades, had to be evacuated. These things are routine. But you know, when it happens to a new coaster, people get alarmed. But I personally am not alarmed.
There's no video of evacuation of the Gemini on social media going viral. That's right.
That's true. That's true. But there are some photos. I did see a photo.
Okay. So you said you rode Siren's Curse 3 times. Is it fun? Do you like it?
Oh, yeah. Honestly, and this will come as a shock to people who are coaster fearful, but I didn't think it was that scary. I mean, I thought it was thrilling. I think the other new coaster at Cedar Point, which is Top Thrill 2, is much scarier to me anyway.
So, but even with some technical problems, it seems like Siren's Curse is going to drive up park attendance. Do you think that they're going to see an increase in attendance because of this new attraction?
I have to believe that they will. Yeah, and it's not just Siren's Curse, it's Top Thrill 2, which as you might remember, opened for like a week last year, and then they shut it down for the rest of the season while they reconfigured the trains. And that, even though it's not running super consistently right now, it's running, almost every day. It's another record-breaking coaster that is having some technical problems. But yes, I absolutely. I will just say, personal note, my cousin's kid drove in from Arkansas to go to Cedar Point for one day last month. I think, yes, they are going to attract people from all over the country who wanted to come last year and try Top Thrill 2, but couldn't. And right before we started the show, I looked up the attendance figures. Now, Cedar Six Flags doesn't release attendance figures for its individual parks, but there's an organization called the Themed Entertainment Association. And according to them, Cedar Point had more than 4 million visitors last year. It was the 12th most visited park in the country and the most visited park that isn't open year round. And my expectation is they will exceed that figure this year, yes.
Yeah, I read that overall, though, for amusement parks around the country, attendance has been down in recent years. It's kind of the coming off of COVID. They were closed for a little while, and it's taking a while to get people back to the parks. They're also more expensive. But you do you feel have you you know looking at those attendance figures, does that make you think, is Cedar Point an anomaly, or do you think that overall amusement parks have been hurting and they're trying to make a comeback?
Yeah, I think, it varies perhaps on what park you're talking about. I do think maybe Cedar Point is an anomaly this year because it has two major new attractions essentially. The parks in Orlando, I think, are down a little bit, because international visitation isn't back where it used to be before COVID. Now, the parks in Ohio, I don't think, get a huge number of international visitors, but listening to the last earnings call, it's a very economics driven industry in that, if people don't have money, they're not gonna go spend $100, $200 at an amusement park. But on the other hand, it's a drive-to destination for most people, and if you cancel your plans to go to Florida or somewhere else, then maybe you'll go to Lake Erie and ride the coasters there.
Part of Cedar Point's reputation is being a clean, well-maintained park. And that is not necessarily the reputation of Six Flags. So do you think that Cedar Point can maintain its clean, well-maintained, well-run reputation, with the Six Flags merger?
I sure hope so. I mean, I don't know. I sure hope so. I think that's a concern that some people have voiced, that you can't lose workers. I mean, and you may recall that during COVID, right, they had to increase the pay of workers to get people to get people to work there, and they've decreased the pay a little bit. And I mean, you need workers to clean the park, and I would be concerned about that too. I haven't seen any evidence that the park has suffered, but like I said, I haven't been there much this year. I do plan to go shortly. But yeah, I think that's a concern of people who love Cedar Point.
When you go again, will you ride Siren's Curse again?
It might depend on how long the line is.
Okay, got it. Well, we've been talking with Cleveland.com journalist Susan Glasser. Thank you so much for being here to talk with us about the merger of Six Flags and Cedar Fair.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
And coming up, we're going to talk with the founder of the company that oversaw the merger. That's When All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
These days, there's so much news, it can be hard to keep up with what it all means for you, your family, and your community. The Consider This podcast from NPR features our award-winning journalism. 6 days a week, we bring you a deep dive on a news story and provide the context and analysis that helps you make sense of the news. We get behind the headlines. We get to the truth. Listen to the Consider This podcast from NPR.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. Six Flags has recently announced layoffs for 10% of their employees. This is following a merger between Cedar Fair and Six Flags about a year ago. The International Theme Park Services oversaw the merger. The company was established by a former Kings Island general manager, and he has been recognized in the Hall of Fame for many Cedar Fair parks, Kings Island, Kings Dominion in Virginia, and Canada's Wonderland. Dennis Spiegel is CEO of International Theme Park Services, and he's also known online as Mr. Theme Park, and he joins us today. Welcome to All Sides, Dennis.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
According to your blog, you've been in the theme park industry for the last 50 years. You are known as Mr. Theme Park. What drove you to dedicate yourself to this business?
Well, I got into it when I was in junior high school, working at Coney Island in Cincinnati, which is the park that Walt Disney came to get ideas for Disneyland. And I love the business. That park evolved into becoming the Kings Island program and then King's Dominion. And I happened to work junior high, high school, and college. And they hired me out of college to come in and work with that team. And I've been in the business ever since. We've worked on over 500 theme park projects in 55 countries.
Well, so you're the founder of International Theme Park Services, and your company works with Six Flags. So can you tell me about when the Six Flags Cedar Fair merger? Tell us about the process. Was it a smart business move or just a necessity in this changing world?
Well, I'm obviously have been a part of the industry, and I've watched over that merger very closely. And it was actually a very good move because Six Flags had been suffering for the last 10 years under management issues. And Cedar Fair had been doing quite well with their parks. And Cedar Fair made the overture to complete the merger with Six Flags. And I like to look upon it as Cedar Fair being the wind beneath the wings of Six Flags and really saving it and pulling it out of a an incredible nosedive that they were in.
So why did Six Flags get to keep the name, though? Why didn't we get rid of Six Flags and call the whole thing Cedar Fair?
Well, because Six Flags is a brand that has been in existence since 1961, and that company really used the Six Flags name on all of their parks around the USA. The Cedar Fair parks were named individually. So Kings Island was Kings Island. It wasn't Cedar Fair's Kings Island. Kings Dominion was Kings Dominion. Carowinds was Carowinds. So the branding name really gives them a stronger presence in the regional theme park industry.
I was just talking with a journalist from Cleveland.com, and she was talking to me about the merger and Cedar Point specifically. And she made it seem like that people associated with Cedar Point especially were not very happy with the merger. Did you get that vibe a little bit from some diehard Cedar Fair lovers that they were not pleased with this?
Well, if you watch the blogs, and we at International Theme Park Services, we watch those daily. There was a lot of displeasure with this merger from the standpoint of them coming together because Six Flags has been in a downward spiral, as I said earlier, and Cedar Fair was the better operator over the last 10, 15 years. And the bloggers, the people who use the parks, the groupies, if you will, who come to the parks, they were afraid that that might pull their Cedar Fair parks down, which hasn't really been the case. And I think things over a period of time here, once the merger solidifies and is begins working properly, I think everybody would be very happy.
The one thing that was talked about that the journalist who has been to Cedar Point a few times this year told me, she wasn't seeing any Six Flags branding at Cedar Point. Are they going to be called Six Flags Cedar Point, Six Flags Kings Island eventually, or is it going to stay its own name?
Eventually, they will become branded and they will become Six Flags Parks. But right now, until the dust settles from the merger, and that's going to take about 6 to 7 years for that to occur, you won't see any Six Flags name coming on, particularly Kings Island, Canada's Wonderland, King's Dominion, or Cedar Point.
Now, Six Flags recently announced laying off 10% of full-time employees, and questions were raised about how this will impact the quality of parks all over the country. Do you think this is a valid concern?
Well, it's certainly a concern. This is not unusual when you see a merger of this size and nature, 42 parks homogenizing. There's going to be savings, and a lot of that savings comes through wages and salaries and personnel cuts. So I think it will take a year or two for them to really stabilize and find out what the exact combination is to make the parks run properly. But I really don't think the guests, the visitors who come to all of these parks will notice any difference immediately.
That was the worry. Cedar Fair has been known for its well-run, well-managed, clean parks. And there was a worry that Six Flags was going to bring them down. Do you think that that is a legitimate and a valid concern?
No, I don't think so. I think what really is going to happen is that the Cedar Fair parks are going to lift up the Six Flags parks down and bring them into a better mode of operation, a stronger mode of operation, if you will, by bringing the Cedar Fair management style to the Six Flags parks. So I think that's a great benefit to those parks.
You were the youngest general manager of Kings Island. Is that correct? Do I have that right?
I was the youngest. I was assistant general manager there, and I was the youngest general manager in the industry when I took over Kings Dominion.
Kings Dominion.
I was 28
okay.
Years old. Yeah.
Wow. Now, my understanding is that the general manager position has been eliminated from like Kings Island and Cedar Point, but they still have park managers. Is this just like semantics or logistics, or is it a cost cutting move?
It's an organizational move, and it's not unanticipated. What they actually eliminated were the park presidents. So the title was president and general manager. And what they have replaced it with is park manager, who is more of the daily operating person in charge of the parks. So a lot of the responsibilities of that previous manager, president, will be more centralized now. And they're doing what they call vice presidents of the regional areas. So some changes, but not unusual for this type of merger in this number of parks.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about theme park mergers and layoffs at Cedar Point and Kings Island with Dennis Spiegel, also known as Mr. Theme Park. We did ask a Six Flags representative to join the show today, but they were not able to make someone available. Now, the reporter I talked to from Cleveland.com, she was told by Cedar Point that they had about 40 layoffs, but she said it was across the board. Do you know if those 40 layoffs would have been mostly full-time employees who are working back office, or do you think the 40 layoffs include like on the ground people too?
I think those 40 people were probably across the back offices in the parks, again, through the homogenization. And this is just the type of redirection that parks will take when they do merge like this. Overall, the number of people that have been cut from West Coast to East Coast is probably closer in the 200 plus range, but many of those are more seasonal type personnel that really, again, will not affect the guest visit when they visit the park.
My understanding is Six Flags is intending to close a park called California's Great America Park in Santa Clara. They say it was due to financial reasons. Do you think we'll see, even after this merger, will we see some theme parks closing?
Yeah, I think we will, simply to help their balance sheet, their debt that they are carrying right now. That park was closed before the announcement had been made, before the merger had ever been undertaken out in California. It's a very expensive piece of property, and it's probably worth more as property than a theme park. So I don't think the merger had any really play in that. There's another park up close to Washington, D.C., Six Flags America, which they're going to close in 26. I believe it's 26. And that's a very expensive piece of property, too, to develop. And probably it will do much better as an investment in that vein than operating it as a theme park. Whether they'll close any of the water parks or any of their additional parks, I think they need at least 2 to 3 years to figure out this. Again, I'll use the word homogenization of the two companies before they make those decisions. But if they do, that money will go to pay down debt.
The reporter, Susan Glasser, I talked to from Cleveland.com, she said that Cedar Point was usually pretty, or Cedar Fair, I guess, was usually pretty good about giving out attendance numbers, but Six Flags maybe not so much. But she found attendance numbers from like a different company. And she said that last year's numbers and so far for this season, it seems like Cedar Point is doing very well. Do you know if overall theme park attendance is down? Maybe just not at Cedar Point.
Well, actually, this has been a crazy year with all of the geopolitical issues, tariffs, the recession issues that we've been dealing with, the high gas prices, which now are very low. And right now, at this point in the middle part of July, parks are doing very well, particularly the destination parks like Disney and Universal. But the regional parks like Cedar Fair are doing well too. But the real issue and the real problematic issue, I should say, has been this season. It's not the economy. It's not the price of eggs. It's not the price of oil. It's weather.
Oh.
It's weather. Mm. And I mean, we're seeing what's happening out west now, having this extreme heat. We had extreme wet weather over on the East Coast this last weekend. And that's been the story since we've opened this season. So usually we use weather as an excuse, but this year I'll allow everybody to use weather as a realistic issue that has created problems. When the weather's been good, people have come out.
Hmm. At Cedar Point, there were delays and malfunction in its brand new Siren's Curse roller coaster. I was just curious if you found that to be just typical, all roller coasters break down, or if you think that's going to be a problem for Cedar Point. Siren's Curse is the big new tilt roller coaster there.
Yeah, no, not really. I mean, that's an extremely sophisticated apparatus with a lot, when I say a lot of moving parts, if you've seen it, it's amazing what it does. You go up the incline, you stop, then you lean over, the track meets another part of the track, and then the ride takes off. And that's not unusual, particularly in the early part of the phasing of bringing it to life. So you're going to have those issues. But the great thing is all of the systems that are in place for safety have worked. Mm-hmm. And that's why we've seen some of the stalling where they had to just embark on it the other day, but it did what it was supposed to do. But not unusual. It's actually typical.
It is even bad publicity, good publicity. Well, do you think it'll dissuade people from riding Siren's Curse, or it's going to make the lines even longer?
I can tell you this. At Kings Island in the early years, we had an issue where our sky ride was stuck for 7 hours. People were on it. It was a horrible storm. We had to bring in cherry pickers, take them out and put them on the ground. We kept the ride down for about 3 weeks. When we reopened the ride, the lines were longer than they had ever been in the history of the ride. So, no, people are going to come back and they'll want to ride it. You know, a theme park is probably the safest place to be on the planet, really, because we inspect ourselves. We have third-party inspectors. We have insurance inspectors. All of those rides and attractions are walked and inspected every day. So, really, really safe places to be. And if it isn't operating properly, we won't operate it.
There was a Top Thrill is at Cedar Point, and a piece of it did fall off and it hit someone. Do you feel like that's just a one-off anomaly where something like that would happen?
It really is. And again, when you look at the number of people who come to theme parks a year, over 375 million went to theme parks last year, and over 1.5 billion, 2 billion rides were given. Numerically and actuarially, again, very little happens. You have more problems barbecuing, cutting grass, watching television, bowling, playing billiards than you do going to an amusement park and riding the rides. Unfortunately, when something like that happens and you have those kind of numbers, we get the sensationalism that an airliner crash gets. So, no, not all ink is good, I would say.
Since just to end, since you got your start at Kings Island, I wasn't able to find numbers specifically about whether there were layoffs at Kings Island, but I'm assuming that if Six Flags did 10% across the board, it did impact Kings Island. Are you aware of any big changes, in management or staffing at Kings Island?
Well, the all of the park presidents, 27 park presidents, were released. They either took retirement or they were released, and that new program was put into place with the park manager rather than the president. There were very few released at Kings Island, and living here in the market as long as I have, and everybody knows who I am and what I do, I really haven't had any questions or concerns about I had a bad time at Kings Island because they've cut back people. We're just not seeing it or hearing it.
Do you think Kings Island is known for some of their holiday events? Do you think that Six Flags will make changes to some things that people are used to at Kings Island?
Yeah, well, two of the biggest events are the Halloween event, which most of the parks do across the industry. It's just super. It's a super event, generates a lot of attendance. And the other one is the Christmas event. There have been changes by the parks through the years in different markets with the Christmas event. But I think you'll see probably more of the Six Flags parks do the Christmas Winterfest type program than you ever have in the past because people love that. It gives them a chance to come out and see the park in a different form, and it gives them something to do in the winter.
That was Dennis Spiegel, CEO of the International Theme Park Services, also known as Mr. Theme Park. I want to thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure. I'm glad to be with you.
And coming up, we're going to talk with the former PR manager at Kings Island. That is when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
These days, there's so much news, it can be hard to keep up with what it all means for you, your family, and your community. The Consider This podcast from NPR features our award-winning journalism. 6 days a week, we bring you a deep dive on a news story and provide the context and analysis that helps you make sense of the news. We get behind the headlines. We get to the truth. Listen to the Consider This podcast from NPR.
Support for WOSU comes from listeners. You can give at WOSU.org. Support also comes from the cancer experts at Ohio Health, delivering care that empowers patients to keep making plans. Learn more at ohiohealth.com/keepmakingplans.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. It's not uncommon for Ohioans to love roller coasters. We have two internationally recognized theme parks, Kings Island and Cedar Point. But what's not common is riding a Kings Island roller coaster over 12,000 times. Don Helbig is a theme park journalist and former Kings Island PR manager. He rode the racer at Kings Island more than 12,000 times and has a world record for the most consecutive rides on the racer. That's 112. Welcome to All Sides, Don.
Yeah, pleased to join you today. Yeah, the 12,000 rides, that was done. Most of those came from 1981 to 1990, over 10,000 during that period. But yeah, it's been quite a ride for me at Kings Island over the years.
It still counts, even if it was 30 years ago. I'm still counting it.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. So 112 consecutive rides on the racer.
That was the record for the most non-consecutive rides
okay.
in one day. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So that
yeah.
was did 1987. You, that was a fun day.
Did you throw up afterward or throw out your back?
No, not at all. It actually, the days that I didn't ride as much is when it felt a little weird.
Well, you are listed on Wikipedia. You're called the Kings Island enthusiast. Is that a true description? Do you love Kings Island?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I love the whole industry, actually. I mean, it's not just Kings Island. You know, I visit other parks and, and just that whole atmosphere. It's hard to beat the value that an amusement or theme park provides, for fun, whether you're going, with your friends, your family. So that was always tough to beat, and it was just kind of a way of life for me growing up.
What about Cedar Point? Did you frequent there, since it's also the Ohio fave?
Yeah, it was an annual visit. Yeah, mm-hmm. An annual visit for me to Cedar Point started in 1987. So I always got there at least once every year, sometimes three or four times. But, Ohio's fortunate to have two, world-class amusement parks in the state. And, it gives, those that live in Ohio, no reason to really have to venture too far to have fun.
You worked as the PR manager for Kings Island from 2007 to 2023. And so you weren't there when this merger happened, but now recently Six Flags has merged with Cedar Fair. The merger was about a year ago.
I was there with different, there was different times where some mergers were possible in that or discussions about them. But yeah, I got out, a year before that happened.
How do you feel, just looking back in all your time working for Cedar Fair, about the merger with Six Flags?
I felt, based on where both of the companies were, with the debt and everything that they had accrued, that it was the best thing for both of them to try to have, to be able to kind of have a reset and be able to have a promising future, or something that they had to do. So from that perspective, I thought, I understood it. I thought there were some, really good things that could come from it. There were a lot of things that the Cedar Fair parks did that were better than what Six Flags did. And there were a lot of things that Six Flags did that were better than what the Cedar Fair parks did. So I thought, being able to combine the best of what both did would ultimately lead to the better guest experience for everybody.
Cedar Fair purists were not very happy about the merger. There's a lot of talk online about Six Flags bringing Cedar Fair down. Over the past year, it's been a year, mergers take a while to fully flesh themselves out, but do you think that Six Flags will bring Cedar Fair down?
No, I think there's going to be a couple of, rough years. This year's been a little rough. The guest experience, not what, longtime visitors have been accustomed to, whether it's Cedar Point or Kings Island. So I knew that there would be some challenges. There would be a lot of cuts. There would be, and the guests would notice, things that were impacting the everyday visit. It might be something as simple as fewer people on the ride platform, which a normal, you're not going to typically notice whether there was six people on a platform or now there's four. Something like that. But by doing that and taking longer to check restraints and everything, you're adding to the wait time. So little things like that I knew, would be impacted. But I'm still optimistic, even though it's been really challenging, and that I'm still optimistic that when 2028 rolls around, that the company will, be ready for a reset. And then we'll start to see things, really, really developing and showing that there's really a lot to be excited about for the future of the company.
Six Flags recently announced that they're laying off 10% of their staff. So that does mean we know there are some layoffs at Kings Island. There's some layoffs at Cedar Point. It occurred everywhere. Do you still have, friends who are at Kings Island? Do you know people impacted by the layoffs?
Well, I know people at both parks that were impacted by the layoffs, and that's the really tough thing. Anytime there's mergers and acquisitions and that, there's going to be, jobs are going to get cut. They're going to find a way to, better allocate their resources. They're going to find, do we really need four people doing this? Can we do it with two? Things like that. So I knew when the merger was announced that what that was going to mean, that there were going to be layoffs. There were going to be people that for no reason on them, it wasn't about their job performance or anything, but they were going to be shown the door. And that's the unfortunate thing, is how much talent the company has lost over the past, 4, 5, 6 months since these layoffs started. Just some incredibly talented people that had 20, 30, 40 years of experience. That's a lot of institutional knowledge, that's now out on the streets that you can't replace. So that's the hard thing for me, is just seeing, how many people have had to leave and nothing to do with the performance that they were, giving the company, because they all did, they all worked hard, they all did a great job. But it's just, what they have to do, right now during this period, and to get where they, ultimately want to be, around 2028.
Yeah. I talked with Dennis Spiegel previously before you came on, and he was saying that, right now, Cedar Point is still called Cedar Point. Kings Island is still Kings Island. Mm-hmm. But he expected that eventually the Six Flags branding would make their way to these Ohio parks. What does that make you feel like if Kings Island and Cedar Point change their names?
I hope it doesn't become like Six Flags, Cedar Point, Six Flags, Kings Island. I think for the, the average guest that goes to the park, that means nothing to them. I think where you want the Six Flags to be is on all your letterhead and all your emails and things, because when you're working with, you're trying to secure sponsorships, or you're trying to, purchase products and that, that's where Six Flags has the name, the clout and everything. But with the guest, it really doesn't. And what it does have, for the most part, there's a lot of guests that there's a negative stigma attached to Six Flags. So I can see him doing it, but I wouldn't do it.
Cedar Point's Hotel Breakers, it was voted the best theme park hotel. These amenities must be dependent on the staff there. I'm not sure if the layoffs directly impacted the hotel associated with Cedar Point, but do you think that, the merger will impact something like this world-renowned hotel that they have?
I think so, if they continue to make cuts in that. I mean, there's no way around it. I know that, a lot of the cuts have already impacted things. Like there's times during the day at both Kings Island and Cedar Point where, all the ice machines, they're out of ice. Or they run out of cups. There's not enough people around to make sure that that all stays stocked, with the cups and the ice and everything. And that would trickle over to the hotels too, where, there's just not as many people available to, make sure how the rooms look and that. So I don't know. I hope it doesn't happen, because that does have a great reputation. But once people start having bad experiences, or it's not what it used to be, and they start talking about that, that ultimately impacts you.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about Cedar Fair and Six Flags merger and the layoffs as well for Cedar Point and Kings Island with Don Helbig, former Kings Island PR manager and a theme park journalist. As you probably know, Kings Island was ranked among the best theme park holiday events by the nation in USA Today Reader's Choice Awards. So Kings Island has its Winter Wonderland and Oktoberfest. It's well known for that Halloween event. Are you worried at all that key events like this will change under Six Flags leadership?
I am concerned that we could. The Winterfest is the one that worries me, because it was already canceled at King's Dominion. So that's the one that you know, I'd be concerned about. I know the Halloween of season, that's one of the busiest times of the year for both Cedar Point and Kings Island. So I don't think that, you know, they would eliminate those events. But the winter event, I could see that being, you know, in jeopardy in the next year or so if things continue to go a little bit south with the, you know, with how, you know, that debt and everything, you know, how they're looking there. If they're not making progress with it, you know, you have to make more cuts. And that would be something that I think, you know, when you're looking at it on paper, that's one that would save you some money. You know, it's that, or you retire some rides, you know, so it's just things like that, that you have to do. And I really hope that it doesn't get to that point, because that's a beloved event at Kings Island with Winterfest.
Yeah, Dennis previously, before you came on, he said that he hoped Six Flags would take the success of Winterfest and mimic it at other Six Flags parks. So we'll see.
I think that would be the plan for the future, because it's such a successful event. Now, some of the Six Flags parks do a winter event, but there's a lot that they could take from Kings Island's event, you know, to really elevate that at the Six Flags parks and making it something that they all do, you know, based on where you, it'd be hard to do it in Sandusky with Cedar Point, just because of where they're located and how extremely cold it gets, you know, there in December. So I don't think you would see Cedar Point get it, but the parks that, you know, could have a Winterfest, you know, I absolutely think that that's something that they should all look to do. I think when it comes to the Halloween events, you've got, they're branded differently between Cedar Fair and the Six Flags parks. I think you need to come to, you know, one brand, you know, for it. Some of the parks, the indoor mazes at Six Flags, they're upcharge attractions. At the Cedar Fair parks, they're not. So I think, you know, there's guests that have that all park passport. You know, I think there needs to be some consistency there. If you're going to Six Flags Great America in Chicago for their Halloween event, you know, in the mazes are an upcharge. If you go to Cedar Point and they're not, I think that should be the same. So I think whatever they decide to do moving forward, they need to work on the consistencies with that. And I think they will.
Let's talk for just a minute before we end about safety. Have you been up to Cedar Point and to ride the new Siren's Curse yet?
I have not, but I've, you know, definitely, I've been living vicariously through everyone's social media posts and videos about it. I thought it was going to be a fantastic addition when they announced it. It wasn't what Cedar Point was known for with all the record-breaking numbers and all that, but not the longest, tallest, fastest, but it was certainly, you know, a unique thrill that it was going to offer. And, you know, it's open to rave reviews, you know, so I'm looking forward to getting there and riding it.
Now, it did have, in its first couple of days, it had some delays and malfunctions. People had to walk down and get off of it. It was stuck a couple of times. Is that just typical roller coaster problems, but it got so much attention because it was the brand new first day on the job?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to happen. And I think, you know, one of the things that's changed, you know, over the last maybe 15 years or so is there wasn't everybody with a cell phone with a camera, you know, and there wasn't social media where anytime a ride stopped, they're posting about it and the news outlets and that are picking it up. And that, I mean, this is, you know, for years, you know, rides have had issues, you know, they're machines, you know, it's like a car, you know, a sensor might go out, you know, but they're all safe. And I would have no, you know, no apprehension about getting on any of the rides at Cedar Point or Kings Island, because, you know, even before my time there at Kings Island, you know, safety is, you know, has been, it is now, it's always going to be the number one priority for the parks. You know, they want it to be safe. They want everybody to have a great time, and they're not going to compromise that.
In just the minute we have left, how do you feel attendance has been? I mean, you spend a lot of time in amusement parks, you know, walking around, seeing how many people are waiting in line, how many people are there. Is attendance at themes parks back from its COVID problems?
I think this summer it's been a little softer, you know, from what I've seen during my visits to Kings Island. I think part of that, you know, would have to do that it was, you know, a lot hotter in June than, you know, it historically has been in this part of Ohio. So I think, you know, the hot days maybe has played a little bit into that. We also had, it was kind of a haven for the cicadas for the first couple of weeks of June. And, you know, that freaks people out. So I think that impacted a little bit. But from what I can tell, you know, they've had a good couple of, you know, weeks since it got a little bit cooler and the cicadas are gone. And it looks to be kind of back to what I was accustomed to.
All right. That was Don Helbig, a theme park journalist and former Kings Island PR manager. Thank you so much for your time today.
All right. Thank you.
And this is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. And if you missed any part of today's show, you can listen at our website, wosu.org/allsides. You can subscribe to All Sides with Amy Jurevich to the podcast. And every episode is available to listen to at the WOSU Public Media mobile app. Also, I want to ask you to be sure to like All Sides on Facebook and follow the show on Instagram at AllSidesWOSU. Thanks for listening today. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News.